صلی علی رسول کریم اما بعد.
The sunnahs of performing salah. It has been reported from Hazrat Abdullah bin Qurt radiyallahu anhu that the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, on the day of judgment, a slave will be questioned about his prayers first. If his prayers are good, all his other deeds will be good too. If his prayers are bad, all his other deeds will be bad too. Reported in Tabarani. It has been related by Hazrat Ubadah bin Samit radiyallahu anhu that the Apostle of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has prescribed 5 compulsory prayers. Whoever performed wudu properly for them, in other words, according to the sunnah method, and offered the prayers up at the right time, and carried out ruku, bowing and sujood, prostration, as they ought to be, and celebrated them, prayers, with the feeling of deep reverence and attention focus, then for such an individual, it is the firm promise of Allah Ta'ala that He will forgive him. And whoever did not do so, for him, there is no promise of Allah Ta'ala. If he wants, then he'll forgive him. And if he wants, then he'll punish him. Reported in Ma'riful Hadith and Musnad Ahmad and Sunan Abu Dawood. As Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu anhu has narrated that the Apostle of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when it is too hot, then offer up Zuhr prayer when it becomes cooler. Reported in Sahih al-Bukhari. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu has narrated that on one occasion the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out for Isha prayer at such a time when the night had been properly established. And Honorable sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, if I did not think that this time would be burdensome and difficult for my ummah, then I would always delay and pray Isha salah at this late time. Because for this salah, this time is always the better, greater time. Reported in Sahih Muslim. Hazrat Rafi' bin Khadij radiyallahu anhu has narrated that the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, offer up, pray the salah of Fajr in Isfar, in other words, when the light of the morning has spread, then pray the salah of Fajr, because there is greater reward in Ajr at this time. Reported in Sunan Abu Dawood and Jami Tirmidhi and Musnad Darimi. It is related by Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever forgot to offer a salah prayer or remained asleep at its time, the atonement for it is that he offered it up immediately on remembering it or on waking up. Reported in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. On one occasion after the Maghrib prayer, some people were waiting for Isha salah. And the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he approached in such a speedy and fast manner that he exerted strain on his blessed breath. And he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stated, O people, be happy. Your Lord has opened a door of the heavens and has presented you in front of the angels. And with pride he stated, look at my servants. They've performed one salah prayer and they're waiting for the next salah prayer. Reported in Ibn Majah. In Bukhari and Muslim, Hazrat Abdullah bin Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu relates, he stated that I never observed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform any prayer out of its time, except the 2 prayers of Maghrib and Isha, which he combined at Muzdalifah. And in the hadith, it has also been narrated with regards to combining the salahs of Zuhr and Asr in Arafat. This combining of prayers is related to the rituals, actions of Hajj, and was not due to traveling or safar. In a narration in Abu Dawood, Hazrat Ibn Umar has reported, radiyallahu anhu, he said that the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a journey never combined Maghrib and Isha prayers together, except for one occasion. The meaning of combining prayers is this, that the first salah should be delayed so much that it's prayed in its end time, and the second salah is prayed so quickly that it's performed right in its beginning time. And some state that this is called visible combination, because visibly this is combination, but in reality the salahs are not combined. Reported in Madarij al-Nubuwwah. In Jami' al-Asul, there's a narration of Abdullah bin Waqidi that on one occasion on a journey, the Muazzin said to Hazrat Ibn Umar, As-Salah. Ibn Umar said, keep going. To this extent that before the light had disappeared, he disembarked and offered the Maghrib Salah. And after that, he waited to the extent that the light disappeared, and then he observed Isha prayer. And after this he said, whenever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a hurry during a journey, then he would do this very same action, and this is what he instructed, reported in Madarij al-Nubuwwat. Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu has reported, there are three times during which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us to offer prayers. And in these same times, he also forbade us to offer the funeral prayer or bury our dead. When the sun has fully risen, sunrise time, and when it is overhead at noon, until it has passed the meridian, Aizawal, and when it's starting to set, until it has set, Sahih Muslim. It has been reported in the hadith that when the gracious of Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stand for salah prayer, then he would say, Allahu Akbar. And with this initial takbir-e-tahreema, he would raise both hands up to his ears, and after that, he'd fasten his hands in such a way that the right hand would be placed onto the wrist of the left hand. After fastening the hands, he'd recite thana, ay subhanakallahumma, etc. After this, he'd recite a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, and after this, he'd recite bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Then after this, he'd recite surah al-fatiha, and at the end of it, he'd say ameen. In the fiqh jurisprudence of Imam Adam rahmatullah alayh, Ameen should be said silently. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu has narrated that the Imam should perform ikhfa in four things. I recite them softly, quietly. Ta'awuz, Bismillah, Ameen, and Subhanakallahumma. Then Honorable Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after reciting Surah Fatiha, would recite any Surah chapter, and when he'd complete this recitation, while he would say Takbir, he would go into Ruku, into the bowing position, i.e. he would recite Takbir at the same time as bowing. In this way, when he'd raise his head from Ruku, then he'd say Sami Allahu liman hamida. In the Ruku bowing position, he'd firmly press both hands onto the knees, and he would keep his fingers spread out openly. The scholars state that in salah prayer, there are three states, positions for the fingers. One, first is in the position of ruku, bowing, when the fingers should be maintained in an open spread manner. Secondly, in the position of sajda, prostration, when the fingers should be kept joined together. Thirdly, in all other postures and positions, the fingers should be left in their natural state condition, whether you're in qiyam or in the posture of tashahud. In ruku, bowing, the gracious Prophet ﷺ would keep his arms away from his side's flank, and he'd keep his back straight, and he'd keep his head in line with it, the back, and wouldn't lower it, and nor would he raise it. And he'd say three times, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. This is the minimum amount, but you can recite more quantity than this. And mostly, Honorable Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would recite this in odd quantities. When he'd raise his head from ruku bowing, then he wouldn't go into sajda, prostration, before or until he had stood fully straight. The gracious Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would perform sajda in this same manner. When he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, would go into sajda, prostration, then he would place the knees onto the ground before the hands. After this, he'd place his hands onto the ground. Then he'd firstly place his nose onto the ground. Then he'd place his noble forehead onto the ground. In sajda prostration, he would keep his arms and stomach away, distant from his legs, thigh. So much so, in order that even a goat's child, a lamb, could pass through the gap between them. In sajda, he would place his blessed head between both palms, hands. In sajda, the direction of the toes of the feet would be towards Qibla, the Kaaba. In sajda, he would recite at least three times, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, and when he'd raise his head from prostration, then he would not perform the next sajda prostration until he had sat up with a totally straight back. When the qiyam, standing, would be very long, then the ruku and sajda and jalsa, sitting between, also be very long. And when the qiyam would be short, then these would also likewise be short, reported in Madarij al-Nubuwwat. In the hadith reported by Hazrat Wail radiallahu anhu, it stated that when Honorable Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would get up from sajda in order to stand in qiyam, then he would stand whilst taking support from the legs, thighs and ankles. And the sunnah during this is to keep both hands on top of the knees and take the support from the legs and ankles and stand up. Hazrat Umar, it is reported from Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with regards to standing up, prohibited standing up whilst taking support by placing the hands on the ground. But at the time of need, for example due to old age or due to weakness or due to illness, to take support by placing the hands on the ground is permissible, reported in Madarij al-Nubuwwat. When the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit in tashahud position, then he'd lay out his left foot horizontally on the ground and would sit on it, and he'd keep his right foot upright. When he'd sit in tashahud after the final rak'ah unit of prayer, i.e. qada akhira, then he'd sit like qada ula and recite tashahud, and would place both hands onto both thighs, and he would raise the index finger of the right hand, i.e. he would move the index finger. The way to do this is as follows. The small finger and the finger next to it should be folded into the fist. Then make a circle by joining the middle finger and thumb. And then make the movement gesture by raising the index finger. When you recite La ilaha, raise the finger. And upon reciting Illallah, lower the finger. Reported in Madarijun Nubuwa. Hazrat Suhail ibn Sa'ad has reported that the gracious Prophet ﷺ stated that that person, Salah, is not even completed who or accepted who does not send durood on his Nabi. Reported in Tabrani and Ibn Majah. After reciting durood sharif in Salah, to recite dua is proven from the gracious Prophet ﷺ verbally, educationally, and also physically via demonstration. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has narrated that Rasulullah ﷺ stated, when anyone from amongst you completes recitation in the qada akhira, final tashahud, then he should seek refuge, protection from Allah from four things, Sahih Muslim. First, protection from punishment in the grave. Secondly, from the trials and tests, fitnas of Dajjal. Third, from the fitnas, trials of life and death. And fourth, from sins and from unnecessary debt loans. That dua is as follows. Allahumma inni audubika min adhabil qabri wa min sharri fitnatil masihid Dajjal wa audubika min fitnatil mahya wal mamat. Allahumma inni audubika min al ma'thami wal maghram. Maghrami. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu has reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the education of this dua in such a way, just like the way he taught us the surahs of the Quran, reported in Muslim and Bukhari. The gracious Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after tashahud, would give salam, at the end of prayer, would give salam to the right and the left, and he would keep his blessed eyes open during salah. He would not close his eyes, reported in Sahih Muslim. Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu reports that the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after every fard compulsory prayer, would recite this dua: La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at, wa la yanfa'u dhal jadd minkal jadd. This is reported in Bukhari, Muslim and Mishkat. Honorable Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's blessed habit was that when you'd say salam at the end of salah, then he'd recite three times, Astaghfirullah, 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 and then Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhul jalali wal ikram. And then he'd stay facing the Kaaba, and then he'd quickly turn towards in the direction of the muqtadis, the followers, and then he'd turn his illuminated blessed face towards his right or left side. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud said that I saw Rasulullah a few times looking towards the right, and Hazrat Anas radhiyallahu said that sometimes, a lot of times, I saw Rasulullah looking towards the left side, reported in Zadul Ma'ad. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu has reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after every salah, would recite this dua: Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal-fuqri wa'adhabul qabr, reported in Tirmidhi. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu has narrated that in the evening or in the morning, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would definitely recite this dua: Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah wa fi ahlihi wa mali, reported in Ma'riful Hadith. Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu has reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took my hand and he said to me, after every prayer, do this dua definitely to Allah and never leave this. Rabbi a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Reported in Musnad Ahmad, Sunan Abu Dawood, and Sunan Nasai. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu has reported that I requested the Prophet of Allah that, O Prophet of Allah, please teach me such a dua that I can pray, recite in my salah. Then Rasulullah replied that, say this: Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi dhulman kathira wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta faghfir li maghfiratan min indika warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim. So reported in Bukhari and Muslim. Hazrat Muslim bin Haris radiallahu anhu has reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, when you complete the Maghrib Salah, then before speaking to anyone, recite this seven times over: Allahumma ajirni minan nar. And if you recite this after Maghrib, this dua, and in that night if you pass away, die, then from hell you will be saved, protected. And if you recite this after the Fajr prayer and without speaking to anyone, you recite this 7 times after Fajr Salah, then that day if you die, then Allah Ta'ala, from Allah Ta'ala, He will save you, protect you from hell. Reported in Sunan Ibn Majah and Zadul Ma'ad. Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiyallahu anhu has stated, reported that I heard Rasulullah SAW saying that that individual who every day in the morning and in the evening before the night, every day, if he recites this dua 3 times over, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama'i wa huwa sami'ul alim. And that day, night, he will be protected from all evil and bad things. And also recite this dua 3 times. A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq. Min tammati kulliha min sharri ma khalaq. There are 11 sunnahs of Qiyam. At the time of Takbir Tahrima, to stand straight, and the head, not to drop it, make it low, and the feet, the toes of the feet should be towards the Kaaba, and between both feet there should be the gap of 4 fingers width, that's mustahib. And the muqtadi's takbir tahrima should be after the imam's takbir tahrima, the followers takbir. At the time of takbir tahrima, raise both hands up to the shoulders, to the ears, and to keep your palms towards the Kaaba, and the fingers to keep them in the natural position. They shouldn't be open too much, or they shouldn't be too tight. And the right hand, and the left hand, then fold the right hand over the back of the left hand, and the small finger and the thumb of the right hand to make a circle, to grab hold of the left wrist, and the 3 fingers in between on the right hand to keep them on top of the wrist, and to fold your hands beneath the navel, and to recite the thana. In salah, the sunnahs of qiraat, recitation, to recite ta'awuz, a'udhu billah, to recite tasmiyah, ayy bismillah, to say Ameen silently, quietly. And Salah shouldn't be prayed quickly, nor should it be prayed very slowly, rather at a medium pace. The 3rd and 4th rak'ah of the Fard, only to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. The sunnahs of Ruku. In Ruku, to say the Takbir of Ruku, to go into Ruku, and to grab hold of the knees with both hands. And when you grab hold of the knees, to keep the fingers spread out, and to keep the legs straight, and your back should be straight, spread out, and your head and hips should be level with the back. And in ruku, at least minimum 3 times to recite Tasbih Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And when you get up from the ruku, stand up from the ruku, that the imam should say Sami Allahu liman hamida, and the muqtadi Rabbana wa lakal hamd, and the munfrid individual should say both. The 12 sunnahs of sajda, to say the takbir of sajda, to first in the sajda, to put the knees down first, then both hands to be placed on the ground, and both hands in between them, to do prostration, your head between the 2 hands. And in sajda, your stomach should be separate from the thighs, and the arms, they should be, the elbows should be away from the ground. And in sajda, at least 3 times, to say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, and to say the takbir of getting up from sajda. And when getting up from sajda, first the forehead, then the nose, then the hands, then the knees should be raised. And between the 2 sajdas, to sit with ease. The sunnahs of qada. The right foot should be vertically upright, and the left foot should be horizontally laid down to sit on top of it, and the fingers of the foot should be towards the qibla, Kaaba. Both hands should be placed on the thighs, and in tashahud to say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, to raise the index finger, and on illallah to drop it down. And in Qada Akhira, to recite the Durood Sharif, and after Durood Sharif, to recite the Dua'i Masuras, which are in the Quran and the Hadith, to recite them. And 2 salams, to say salam to the right and the left, to say salam to both sides, right and left. And to start from the right side in salam, the imam should, to the muqtadis, the angels and righteous jinnat, to give them salam. The muqtadi, the follower, to give the salam to the imam, angels and righteous jinnat, and to the and the knee of the muqtadi is on the right and the left. And the individual makes the intention of just the angels. And the muqtadi should be performing the salam alongside with the imam. And the second salam, the volume should be lower than the first salam. The masbuk, the person who joins namaz late, he should wait for the imam to complete the salam, then to continue. In ruku, the hands, the fingers should be spread, and in sajda, the fingers should be joined. The salah prayer for women, at the time of takbir tahreema, to raise both hands just to the shoulders, and the hand should not be removed or come out of the veil, from within the veil, and to then fasten the hands on top of the chest, and the right palm should be placed just on top of the left back of the left hand, and to keep the hands close to the body, and to keep the heels of both feet joined, and perform sajda in a way that the feet should be towards the left, and perform sajda prostration and completely huddled, limbs close together, and the stomach should be joined close to both thighs, and place both arms on the ground. And when sitting in qada, to put the feet out to the left, and to put the hands onto the thighs, and keep the fingers close together. The unique special sunnahs of salah. Whilst in qiyam, looking towards the sajda position, whilst in ruku, looking towards the feet, whilst in sajda, looking towards the nose, and whilst turning for salam, to keep the eyes on the shoulders. And if yawning then occurs, then to forcefully stop it, and if it doesn't stop, then to suppress it using the back of the right hand. And when you feel like coughing, then try to stop it and suppress it. In silent prayer, i.e. in the prayer where there is not loud recitation, to recite with such a volume that you can hear yourself. And when you do salam, say after salam, completing salah, say Allahu Akbar once, and then three times, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. May Allah Ta'ala give to us, with regards to the gracious Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all his beloved and beautiful sunnahs. May Allah give us the tawfiq ability to practice upon them. Ameen, Ya Rabbul Alameen.